Wolf, and Luke.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Ron Wolfley.
This is going to make me look kind of freaky.
Luke Lipinski.
The great Luke Lipinski.
Devaluing the word great if you follow for Luke Lipinski.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Final hour of the show already. Wednesday has flown by, and we start to see more and more of the national recognition for the Cardinals. You also are naturally, Wolf, going to have the skeptics. We know Keyshawn has been a skeptic. He's made that clear. He's definitely taken that stance. I will credit Keyshawn in that he has gone with, like, he hasn't gone back and forth. He has firmly entrenched himself in the side of this Cardinals team is not for real.
Right.
For a year and a half now, he's done that. And last year, I mean, I guess they finished 8-8, so he wasn't really that. I don't know. He didn't
You know, to his credit, I got to give Key some credit here. To his credit, he was when they were 6-3.
Yeah,
he still was saying, you know, they're going to win 7 games when they were 6-3. After the Buffalo Bills and the Hal Murray, think about that. Not bad.
He might be on the wrong side of it this year, though, with the way this team looks. But we'll see. Certainly, the tough part of the schedule is coming up.
I just
here.
Don't like it when Keyshawn is inaccurate. Like when he keeps talking about the Arizona Cardinals and the air raid head coach. Now, maybe it's become a bit with them. I have no idea. I don't listen to their show, but I can tell you right now that they don't run the air raid offense. And I continue to get bent out of shape by Keyshawn talking about the fact they're running the air raid. It's bull. They don't run the air raid. And Cliff Kingsbury has even come out and been very straightforward. And the fact that, you know what, yeah, I came into this league and I had this idea. I had an idea in my head as to what I wanted to do, and I'm paraphrasing Cliff, but he said, you know what, I had to take my lumps.
I've got it right here.
You never know when you get into this. You know, I had never coached in the NFL. I had a belief in what we do and how we try to attack defenses, but I've had to learn a lot, take a lot of beatings, and I'm still learning every day.
Look at that right there.
There you
Once
go.
Again, it's why I love Cliff Kingsbury. I'm just telling you right now, you're not going to get a lot of seated NFL coaches, head coaches, saying what he just said. He is a smart guy. And all it takes, Basinonians, if you were to sit there in the same room as Cliff Kingsbury and talk to him, you know. You know what? I'm not the smartest guy in this room. You would know that. He is a smart dude. And yet he's got a modicum of humility about him that I really appreciate. And you just heard it.
Well, that's going to be, I feel like that's a soundbite we're going to play a few times this year, because it's in some ways the real key to the Cardinals. Because you're right. You sit in a room with Cliff Kingsbury, you start talking about football, and you're like, this guy is a computer almost. Like, he knows all this stuff. But can you put it into practice and translate it into wins when you're playing the Rams, the 49ers, the Patriots, like you saw last year? And, you know, the first 2 years, he hasn't been able to do that enough, but he is trying to improve on it. Whereas there are coaches out there that are like, whatever, I'm doing it. How many coaches have you heard where it's like, well, if we're not winning, it's because the players aren't doing
it?
That's
exactly
job.
Right. It's not me. It's not the scheme. Yeah. It's not the plays that are, what are you serious?
All right, so we'll just never get better? Is that the plan?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think of Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly was dogmatic about his system, and rightfully so. The first couple of years he came into the league, man, they caused an awful lot of problems for a lot of defensive coordinators, that being the Eagles, of course. They did. And then teams started figuring them out. This is the way that it goes. You can't be dogmatic. You got to be multifaceted, as my old coach used to like to say. Multifaceted.
As far as criticism for the Cardinals, this is Bill Barnwell, who said, look, you can enjoy this now, but you better win as much as you can right now because there are issues coming.
They're going to go as far as their stars carry them. They're a top-heavy team, and the guys they have at the top are awesome. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Chandler Jones. We've seen those guys in the first 2 weeks be dramatic difference makers. My concern is, what happens to the guys around them? What happens to the worst 6 or 7 starters on the roster? What happens when we see injuries happen and guys come off the bench? Because this is not a very deep football team. And to me, I think, sort of like last year, they have to bank as many wins as possible early in the season. Because when you get to November and December, your depth is going to matter more. And they might have to have an impressive record, assuming they're going to lose a couple games. Maybe we would expect them to win later on in the year. So hopefully, of course, when they get the Jaguars this week, that seems to be pretty much the team that everyone's going to be beating this year. So hopefully they get to 3-0. And that, again, typically tells us they're going to be a playoff team this year.
How do you feel about that? Because I'm telling you right now, I'm jaded anytime Bill Barnwell opens his mouth. I'm going to be honest with you.
Once you pointed out to me that he graded the DeAndre Hopkins trade a B.
That's what he gave it, a B.
Sorry, you needed to get more back in exchange for David Johnson's contract.
Serious. It was ridiculous.
I will try to separate that in my mind for a second and go with what he just said. I don't completely disagree with some of that. Depth is an issue, but
do you know who depth is not an issue for?
Well, that's the thing.
Nobody.
I don't understand necessarily why the Cardinals would be singled out on that, because, you know, he starts off by saying, well, they've got some stars like Kyler Murray and Chandler Jones, but behind their stars, they're a little bit top heavy. That's most teams. And also, most teams don't have as many stars as the Cardinals have. Look at the team you're going to play this week. They've got Trevor Lawrence, who I think will be a star someday, is not yet. It's his third start. What other stars do the Jaguars have on their team? And I get that Jacksonville's an extreme. I mean, that's probably at the bottom of the league. But there's a lot of teams that don't have a Kyler Murray or a Chandler Jones or a DeAndre Hopkins. And I would also say, because he kind of alludes to it there, what happens when those stars aren't playing well? The other starters, I'm pretty confident in with this team. It's more like, who steps in if there's another injury at corner, or who steps in at linebacker if Zaven Collins can't get it done, or Jordan Hicks stumbles or whatever. The depth concerns I have with the Cardinals are guys that are on the sidelines right now. Injuries happen to every team.
You just took all the words right out of my mouth. I'm just saying right. It's the reason why it irritates me to hear him talk about it. I mean, you just basically every good team that is out there. You just summed it up right there. Yeah, they got a bunch of stars. They got a bunch of stars, and after that, guess what? What happens to the bottom six or seven guys on the? What are you talking about? you're basically talking about everybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean, who's immune to that? Maybe Tampa? Maybe?
Jeez.
Now, the part that I do sort of agree with is you need to stockpile wins when you can. But again, that's universal. The stuff I agree with him on is not really specific to the Cardinals.
You know, I have to interrupt you right there. Stockpile, you know, you've got to do that. You've got to do... listen, Jacksonville, yes, you're right. You're right about that. You got to win that game because you should beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. No offense to Urban Meyer. No offense to Trevor Lawrence. But they should beat them. But you know what? Especially the way Bill Barnwell feels about the Arizona Cardinals, being a very mediocre club for the most part. If you listen to his sound bites, if you listen to the things he says, if you read his columns, the Arizona Cardinals are below average, if anything. So why would you expect anything out of them whatsoever? Stack wins? Every team has got to stack wins. You got to beat the teams you should beat, because you're going to win some games where you shouldn't have won that game. And I think the Arizona Cardinals just did it against the Minnesota Vikings. They won a game they probably shouldn't have won.
If you look at this 8 games. So after the Cardinals play Jacksonville on Sunday, they don't have a bye week till week 12. So they're going to play 8 games after Jacksonville before the bye week. There's some tough teams on there. The Rams, the 49ers, the Browns, okay, Houston on October 24th. Green Bay, we don't know for sure what they are yet, but then San Francisco, Carolina, I think the Cardinals are a better team than, but Carolina is 2-0, and then in Seattle on November 21st. That takes you into the bye week. That is a tough schedule.
Yeah, can I tell you they're all tough as far as I'm concerned?
Well, and I would say none of those are unwinnable. I mean, there are teams you look at. There are teams around the NFL that if they had that schedule, you'd be like, okay, well, they definitely can't beat Seattle. They definitely can't beat San Francisco. They definitely can't beat the Rams. I understand the Cardinals haven't beaten the Rams in forever. But none of those 8 games are, like, unwinnable to me.
Totally.
I mean, they probably should be able to go, at least 4-4 in that stretch, at least? And if you're starting 3-0...
Yeah,
I'll take 7-4 going into the bye week.
No, it's sold. I'll take that as well. I think the biggest misnomer, and I could be dead wrong on this. Hear me well on this, Basinonians. I could be dead wrong, Luke, on this one. But for me, I think just saying, well, they're in the NFC West, and it's the toughest division in football, and they're going to lose. I mean, there were some predictions that were going to go 1-5 in the NFC West this year. 1-5. Most people said 2-4 coming into this season. Now I realize a lot has changed in the first 2 weeks, and people are starting to wake up to the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray and even Cliff Kingsbury and how they're playing. They're starting to change their mind a little bit right there. But, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a fait accompli, something that is already done. Do I believe the NFC West is loaded? Yes. But don't make me I'll never say they can't beat the Rams. I'm never going to say that. They can beat the Rams. Now, they got to prove it. They got to do it. One game would be a good place to start. But, yeah, I don't think any of those games are unwinnable.
No, and they're going to be favored in a good chunk of those games if they go out and take care of business on Sunday against Jacksonville. But, I mean, the Rams, that's the game, right? There's not any team on the schedule that, as a Cardinals fan, you look at and you're like, oh, great, them. More so than the Rams. I think even if the Cardinals played the Chiefs, you'd be like, all right, this will be interesting. Let's see these two high-powered offenses go at it. We should be able to score on Kansas City, and we're going to have to figure out a way to stop them. With the Rams, it is that mix of the defense and the offense and all that, but it's also just they've had your number for the last few years, and they beat you up. I mean, they've been taking quarterbacks out. Like, it's just it's time to finally beat the Rams, and I think this Cardinals team is set up to do it, but the problem is the Rams are better now than they have been a lot of these years where they've had your number. But that's two games out of the six in your division. It's two out of the 17 on your schedule, and there's nobody that can guarantee you can't beat them at least one of those two games.
How many people thought they were going to be 3-0 undefeated going into the Rams game?
Not Bill Barnwell. Definitely not Bill Barnwell, I can tell you that.
No.
Coming up, which quarterback would you choose if you were starting an NFL franchise from scratch? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Listen to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
He's hot today, Chase. The thing's coming out clean today.
I don't know what he did this offseason, but, you know, the ball's coming out with a lot more zip on it.
I've always said I think we're just scratching the surface with what he can do as far as dynamic as a runner, tremendous thrower.
He's a human highlight reel, man. The way the ball comes out of his hand and how he spins it, man, is unbelievable.
You're seeing super next-level stuff where he's fitting certain balls and certain crosses right into these tight windows that you wouldn't think is possible.
Why are you walking? Why are you walking?
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
All right, we played a clip earlier in the show from the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max show this morning where they were talking about if you were building a team from scratch, which quarterback are you taking first? And I'll play that clip again in a second, but I want to play this one first, Wolf. This is from yesterday. This is Keyshawn on First Takes. Apparently, Keyshawn's everywhere. And the conversation got to Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Okay. And Keyshawn Johnson said there's actually a quarterback he would take over. Not just Kyler Murray, but also Russell Wilson, okay? And this is the quarterback he chose.
Would you rather have Derek Carr than both of them, than both Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray? Right
I would
now?
Go Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray. That's
oh
what I would go.
Oh, my God.
That's what I would go.
Oh, my. That you would pick Derek Carr
I
over
would.
Russell Wilson?
I would.
Why?
You sure you want to do this again?
I just.
Yes.
It's certain things from a receiver standpoint. That I like the quarterback. I like that quarterback.
You know what? Now, I appreciate the education. Floor is yours. I want you to explain. The camera's right here. I want you to explain to a national audience how you talk about it. As a receiver, I would want Derek Carr over Russell
Absolutely.
Wilson.
Absolutely.
And Kyler Murray.
Absolutely.
Oh, my Lord.
Absolutely.
Oh, my Lord.
I should also point out Stephen A. Smith is in this clip in case you couldn't figure that out.
He was jacked up, too. I mean, I've been there. You know what? Honestly, I am jacked up. Would you do that? Would you take Derek Carr over Russell Wilson?
No, of course not.
Because that question was not.
Who are you building your franchise around?
Okay.
Like, if you're building your franchise, I will list. I'll take Kyler over Russell Wilson. If you're trying to win a game tomorrow, I'm probably still going Russell Wilson because he won a Super Bowl.
No doubt.
Either way, Derek Carr is not part of the equation. No offense, he's off to a good start in Vegas. But
so, what is the question we're asking right now? What is the question?
We are asking if you are building a franchise from scratch right now. So, you know, age matters.
Like, right. Russell's what, 32?
Yeah. So he's not that old.
Is he really?
I believe he's
32. Did I just nail that out of nowhere?
Well,
are you kidding me?
That's what I thought. I'll double check.
Ding, 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 ding. We've got a winner.
I don't know what you get.
Russell Wilson right there for 32. Is he really 32?
32. November 29th.
Oh, my goodness.
He'll be 33 next year.
Man, I'm so old. Okay, what were you going to say? Were you going to say something?
I can tell you who the guys on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max this morning all picked. Max Kellerman took Justin Herbert. J. Will took Kyler Murray.
Okay.
Keyshawn took Lamar Jackson, which, based on his reasoning for why he wanted Derek Carr over Russell Wilson, I'm very confused by, because if I understand it right, that was he trusts more of just a traditional pocket passer,
yeah,
which Lamar Jackson is not.
Yes, he is not.
But either way, if you were going to build a franchise from scratch, which quarterback are you taking?
Okay, from scratch right now. Age comes into account here.
It doesn't have to be everything, but yes, it comes into play.
I'm going to say age, ability, and experience.
Yes.
That is the thing that I want right there. So in other words, you don't want a guy who's been in the league 10 years to start building a team around, unless he's going to be Tom Brady, and he's going to play as long as Tom Brady.
He's been in the league for 20 years.
Stop and think about that. Okay, that kind of, the point is moot. All right, I digress. So to me, I look at age, Kyler wins. How old is Kyler Murray?
I believe he's 24.
Okay, yeah, he's still really young, Kyler Murray. So age is good. He's got his whole career in front of him for the most part. Ability. Think about Kyler Murray and ability right now. And we're taking Pat Mahomes.
We're taking Mahomes out of it.
Mahomes is out of the equation. Right.
Sorry, Pat. You're so good. You never get to be in any of these games.
You got your own category, Pat, okay? But Kyler Murray's ability when it comes to his legs and it comes to his arm talent, it's not even close. The physical raw ability, it is Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes blended together. He's got that kind of overt, in-your-face talent, both arm talent and legs, as good as it gets, Kyler Murray. Experience. That is the third category that I get to right now. This is going to be his 35th game coming up this weekend in Jacksonville. 35 games Kyler Murray has played. The experience hurts him and dings him in this category, but based on what I've seen the first two games of this year, he has already made so many improvements, especially with his brain, mentally, what it is that he's seeing, his eyes, and what his eyes are telling his brain, and what he's doing because of it. He's already so much better. I'll just give you three examples. The touchdown against the Tennessee Titans to Christian Kirk against the blitz. Man free. Man across the board, free safety in the middle of the field, bring six, going after Kyler Murray. And the touchdown to Christian Kirk in the corner, that was number one. He got him into that. Number two, Christian Kirk on the post route against the Minnesota Vikings, against the blitz last week. 35-yard gain right down the middle of the field. Great throw by Kyler Murray. Great understanding of what's going on. The brain winning a battle. And then the third one would be the hootie hoo to A.J. Green. Looking out there and saying, man, there's a little guy covering A.J. Green, and he's 10 yards off him. Snap me the ball. Hootie hoo. Throw it to A.J. Green. Touchdown. It's a situational awareness that he's showing right now that makes him, to me, the guy I'd build my team around.
I don't disagree. I mean, we had this conversation a year ago, and for me it was Kyler or Lamar, and at the time I took Kyler Murray, and they've both gotten better since, but I would still take Kyler because of the throwing ability. Not like Lamar can't throw the ball, but I just think Kyler has untapped potential
one
still.
One game. Who would it be?
To just win one game?
One game.
You're going to make me say what? Tom Brady.
No, no. Tom okay. Brady. Take him out of the equation, too.
I would love to, but I can't.
And Tom Brady. Just the quarterbacks we're talking about right now. I mean, honestly, one game, I'll take Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think it's still Russ. I'm trying to. I put together a list here of players that would be like maybe younger players that you would look at for the original question of building your team around. Because I would go over like the last four drafts. Clearly this year's draft, I would go Trevor Lawrence. Last year would be Justin Herbert. The year before would be Kyler. The year before would be Josh Allen, right? So those are probably your four main younger quarterbacks you're looking at. Like, if you, because you know there's somebody out there.
I
love
Josh Allen.
Yeah, and he deserves to be discussed here. You know there's somebody driving around right now that would be like, oh, I would definitely take Trevor Lawrence. Okay, but I haven't seen him really do anything in the NFL. Also, Lamar, I for some reason never think of him as being in that Josh Allen class, but he was. So Lamar is actually probably the cream of the crop there. I mean, Dak, is that a name that you'd consider? I mean, this is the list.
What, for one game?
No, I mean, to build around. The list of younger quarterbacks. And if that's the list, I like Kyler more than any of them, and Lamar's second.
Yeah, I do.
So there you go. Somewhere Bill Barnwell is angrily turning his radio off.
You're kidding me, Bill.
Text us your thoughts on the future of Kyler Murray and some of the younger quarterbacks in the league to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up, we'll take you through the biggest stories around the NFL as we head into Week 3, and we are seeing more and more new starting quarterbacks for Week 3. That's next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The fullback and the thinback. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
That's so funny, I forgot to laugh. Oh my goodness. We get it, the fullback and the thinback.
Could be worse. Probably will. We're going to get more and more of these rejoins, and the more we talk, the meaner they're going to get.
By the way, I've busted it to this from time to time as well.
On the dance floor?
I'm just
running
telling
out there
you right now, all right? I mean, if you can't bust it to this, you're unbustable.
Do you do the inverted sit-ups that he does in the video?
No.
Okay.
No, I did not.
I didn't know if that was like yeah, if that's how you listen to the song.
Okay, it's so funny, Luke.
I'm just saying, if you're really committed to the song, right, you would just... reanimate the video.
No.
Okay.
To answer your question.
Right. Well, that's simple no is all I needed. Here, I'm going to start with this audio. Rob Gronkowski, who is everywhere this year. It's like he has burst onto the scene, even though he has won how many Super Bowls and retired already? He's in every commercial. He was on with Peyton and Eli during the game the other day. He is just, he's everywhere. He's on the Tommy and Gronky show we referenced last
week.
Tommy
and Gronky.
They asked him, I believe this is actually from the Monday Night Broadcast, about game film, and I just want to get your reaction to this.
My teammate Cam Brate just asked me the other day. He goes, "Rob, I have a serious question." He goes, "Do you ever watch film?" And I said, "No, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good." So I don't know how to answer that. I don't watch film, but I do watch film when the team is showing it. So. And every once in a while, I watch games like right now and study them. But I actually, definitely do check the opponent.
I see you taking notes and everything.
Yes, I definitely. And I actually do go up to Tom because I know Tom watches 40 hours of film a week. I go, "Tom, who's covering me this week? What type of coverages are they doing?" I go, "That's why I love playing with you, dog. You just know everything."
I don't believe Gronky.
You don't believe Gronky?
No, he's from my hometown, of course, Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
Western New Yorker, fine Western New Yorker right there, but I don't believe Gronky. Can't knock it off. You don't watch tape. You don't watch any tape.
Well, he said he doesn't watch on his own. When Bill Belichick or Bruce Arians is up there showing the team film, he's not like turned around.
That's so different right there.
Yeah.
He doesn't watch it on his own. I don't believe him.
I might believe him.
That is how absolutely mind-boggling that cut is to me. I don't believe him.
I didn't think you would.
Where are my football pants?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if he's playing up the persona that he has.
Yeah.
Maybe. But
I'm Gronky. Are you kidding me, Red? I don't watch any tape.
I don't know. There was
how
a couple.
How do you come from the New England Patriots culture and their system, and Bill Belichick, and you don't watch any tape?
Well, I'll tell you how. He runs by people. he explained it in there.
He runs by people.
This is the thing.
Gronk isn't known for his great speed.
No, but he's apparently unstoppable.
He's a big target. We all understand that, especially around the goal line, and he's got good hands for a big man.
But don't you at least see the possibility The reason I kind of believe him is the reasoning he gave in there of, well, I know Tom watches like 40 hours of film, so I just go ask him. I could see like Gronk copying off Tom Brady in class, which is a smart move. If you're going to copy off somebody, copy off Tom Brady.
I guess.
But couldn't you absolutely see like Gronk like, hey, Tommy, what'd you get for number three? And yeah. And Brady's just like, how did Gronk get here too? I already left him in New England.
I think he's done a really good job of creating that persona.
He has.
That's what I think.
But he is extremely talented.
Hey, listen, you know, the Boz acted like he was some savage, crazy man and everything else. He created this Brian Bosworth, the Boz. Stop it. He was the one selling all the T-shirts in Denver.
Wasn't he in, like, some action movies, too?
Oh, yeah, no, totally.
Okay.
We've got to get the Boz on. Let's get him on.
Get the Boz on.
Yeah, get the Boz on, absolutely, man, seriously. Love to talk to him because he is a fascinating dude, and he's really, really smart as well. It's one of the things he did back when nobody was really doing it. He created an image and a brand and branded it like nobody else.
When I was looking through at your Tecmo Bowl ratings last week, I believe he was on there, so we could pull up his Tecmo Bowl ratings, too. It'll be huge.
No way. Stop yes, it.
There's a whole way. Maloney sent us the entire website. Like, it's
Wait
there.
A minute. You're telling me? Okay.
Like, any
Boz
player
has got a higher hitting number than I do right now. I'm going to go nuts.
Well, I don't know that, but I'm definitely going to look it up during the break. Real quick, these two teams are going to meet this weekend, Jimmy Garoppolo against Aaron Rodgers, and they find themselves in somewhat similar situations. This is Garoppolo talking about his role right now with the Niners and the possibility he might talk to Aaron Rodgers about it.
Yeah, there's a good possibility. Yeah, I know Aaron pretty well. We've talked a couple times, you know, on the field, off the field, and you know, whatever little piece of advice he could give to me, obviously it's worked out pretty well for him. The guy's been balling, had four TDs the other night or last night. So just, you know, this league's a crazy thing, and we all got our own story, and just got to make the best of your situation.
Hey, Jimmy G, are you looking at me right now? Because look at me, because I want you to see this as I say this to you. Yes, I'm not Aaron Rodgers, but you know what? Don't let him do it. Don't let him give Trey Lance a job. Don't let him take it from you. How about that? Go out and ball. Don't let them do what it is that they want to do. Don't let them do it. The only way that you can actually survive is to go out and play in 2021 like you have never played before in your entire life. Make it hard on them because they can't replace Jimmy G if he's playing well. They can't do it, period. Without losing the entire team, they can't do it. If Jimmy G is playing well, they cannot make the move to Trey Lance. Go out and play well. There's my advice.
Pac-12 play opens up this weekend as ASU takes on Colorado Saturday at Sun Devil Stadium. So head to the contest page now on ArizonaSports.com for your chance to win tickets. When we come back, the Cardinals will get their first look at Trevor Lawrence, but they have somebody on the team that is very familiar with him, and he has spoken today. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
FM, Arizona's sports station. Well-worn blue jeans, crisply pressed slacks. Wolf and Luke.
So we really haven't seen a lot of Trevor Lawrence yet in the NFL. Wolf, I know you went through the tape yesterday and you gave us some good insight on that throughout the show today, and we'll certainly get more into it tomorrow and Friday. But in general, there's just not a lot of NFL tape of Trevor Lawrence out there.
No, you're right about that. And once again, it's real, real obvious the talent that he possesses, especially the ability to move around. He's a big guy. He's athletic. He's a guy that can make every throw. You just check him out. But he's struggling right now. There's no doubt about it. He's struggling, especially inside the pocket, I would say. And he's thrown the other team a lot of balls.
Well, one of the few guys in the NFL that should be pretty familiar with Trevor Lawrence, and from the defensive side of things, probably practiced against him quite a bit. I mean, Isaiah Simmons is here on the Cardinals. They both, in 2018 and 2019, were two of the main, if not the two main guys on Clemson for those teams. I mean, obviously Trevor Lawrence playing quarterback, and Isaiah Simmons, I mean, they had some good players on defense, but he was really, he played every position on defense, so he was a pretty big part of it too. And Simmons has spoken today. They asked him about Trevor Lawrence, what makes him different from other guys that play that position.
His ability to run is something that people don't really talk about, but I know for a fact that he can run. He can run the ball effectively. But I guess something that is kind of like shocking is his arm power is even better than his ability to run. But, I would consider him a dual-threat quarterback just off of what I know he can do.
See, that is the thing right there. When you watch him move around, you watch him run, there's no doubt about it, man. He is a big guy, and he's athletic. Very underrated part of his game right there. And I think he does throw the ball very well, I think, on the run, although I have seen him make some really bad mistakes. So I'll make one awful pick. Just throw an awful pick to another dude that was in a zone cover room, and it was just ridiculous looking at it. Like, how did you ever – what kind of synapse did you possibly have that said, throw the ball in that situation? It was that bad.
Well, and you hope the Cardinals can force that from him again. I mean, when you talk about that ability to run and the arm strength, you know, those interceptions, those poor decisions weren't really happening in college. He was pretty clearly going to be the number one pick 4 months ago, 16 months ago. And, I mean, they've been talking about it for 2 years that he was going to be the number one pick, and he was, even though there's always that, like, post-college football season, oh, okay, we have the combine, we have this and that, we're going to move things around. Trevor Lawrence was always number one overall pick. So he's going to be dangerous, and he has been long described as a generational talent, but he's not there yet. And so the Cardinals should be able to take advantage of that inexperience, but you have to be aware of the arm talent. And they asked Isaiah Simmons today, how would you defend that arm talent that he has?
It's hard. He can make any throw on the field easily. So we're going to have to really cover just because, I mean, personally, I know that he can make any throw. He can scramble, still make the throw. He can make it on the run. Really talented arm. Something that I say that an arm talent like that doesn't really come around too often, that I've seen at least. So, yeah, we're definitely going to have to cover for sure.
Yeah, you know, again, just watching the tape, I would say I agree with Isaiah. But you got to keep Trevor Lawrence in the pocket as well. He's a guy that does make a lot of plays, I think, outside of the pocket. But you got to keep him in the pocket, and you got to play zone. And if you do that, he will force it. I've seen him on tape do it. He will make a throw that you're like, you got to be kidding me. He's thrown three or five interceptions, I should say, in two games. And I think four of those, they were zone coverage and a four-man rush. So to me, keep him in the pocket, play zone. By the way, that's what you're probably going to see against Kyler Murray as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I mean, Kyler is more evolved at the NFL level, and Kyler has better weapons than Jacksonville has right now. So, and as good of a runner as Trevor Lawrence was in college, I haven't seen a lot of quarterbacks outside of Lamar Jackson that can run like Kyler Murray. So it's easier said than done with both of them, but certainly with Kyler. One more from Isaiah Simmons, though. Talking about, not Trevor Lawrence here, but just the dynamic with the linebackers, with Zaven Collins, and then specifically with Jordan Hicks. Simmons on whether or not it's different playing with Hicks this year than it was last year.
I'd say it's exactly the same. Jordan, he's such a good vet that, you know, he came in the same way that it was when I came in. Same exact person. You know, he wasn't in here complaining, you know, not doing anything. He easily could have came in here and, you know, had an injury, you know, how that goes. But no, he came in here, worked, and it honestly is helping our team out. He helps Zaven a ton. Zaven's progression probably wouldn't be as fast as it was without Jordan, just with all the tips and how he helps him just with everything, just with all the experience he's had. So I'm actually glad, you know, that Jordan's with us.
Yeah, Isaiah Simmons much more prominently displayed on the Cardinals this year.
Yeah.
Like, you hear him talking. We didn't hear him talk much last year. We didn't see him play much last year.
You know, it's really interesting. You go back and watch tape, especially of the Minnesota Vikings game, and you will see that Jordan Hicks is really playing the weak side inside linebacker. Zaven Collins, many times, was the Mike backer. Isaiah Simmons, many times, was the mic backer. And when you're talking about that, my brothers, you're talking about the mic backer or the weak side inside. What you're talking about, where's the strength of formation? Where is the strength of formation? And Isaiah Simmons and Zaven Collins would be put to the strength of the formation. The weak side inside is just that, playing on the weak side of the formation. Yet, that's where Jordan Hicks was playing. Fascinating stuff to me. I'll guarantee he's got the green dot, and he's telling Zaven Collins what to do and telling Isaiah Simmons what to do. But they're playing the actual mic backer position. Interesting.
That we've been monitoring the snap counts for the first couple weeks, and that's something I'm admittedly going to be looking at a lot on Sunday and even the following Sunday against the Rams, because in the first 2 weeks, you were facing Derrick Henry and Dalvin Cook. But also, you got up so much on the Titans in week one that it was like, all right, we know they got a pass anyway, so maybe when we didn't see Zaven Collins out there nearly as much, we saw him more in week two. I want to see how much we see him now in week three against a team that doesn't have an elite running back.
Especially, too, because I think Urban Meyer is going to line up Trevor Lawrence, put him under center, and come with a power game. They're going to run that ball, I think, in between the tackles and try to use play action with Trevor Lawrence, who's really, I think, pretty good at that play action. I think they're going to do that, try to boot him, waggle him, get him out on the edge, use that great athletic ability. Yeah, I could easily see them doing that.
All right, that is going to do it for us today. We got a lot of people to thank, so here we go. Ready? Okay. I feel like this was like a full show with guests. It was like a
I love this. Right? We ought to have some thank you music or something.
That's not
going to
carry away. All right, because I'm thanking Max Starks, so I don't want him to feel good. Carson Palmer as well. Thanks to Aaron Maloney, Jesse Morrison behind the glass. For Wolf, I'm Luke Burns and Gambo. Next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Cut that.